again, everyone. Good morning and welcome, friends. It's time to get in the zone with Bartow Sports Zone, your source for local coach interviews and local sports news information and local sports talk. I'm your host, Charles Wilson. I'll be joined today by members of the Bartow Sports Zone bench warmers. Alan Sanders has the controls back in the WBHF studios. I'm on the Zoom connection. We'll be joined a little later on by Jackson Hyde and David Coleman for sure, and maybe some other BSZ members will chime in as well. Today, we visit with boys basketball coaches at Cartersville High and Adairsville High School. Both Mike Tobin and Alex Dispro will join us in the opening hour. Then the BSZ team will update all the local winter sports activities of the week and discuss a variety of topics, including the Falcons coaching search, the NFL divisional playoff weekend, top NFL quarterback prospects, and we'll even have some Braves hot stove chat and more. So please stick around for the next couple of hours. You can always find us online at bartowsportszone.com. That's where you get your daily dose of local sports news and updates. And you can always find our free podcast downloads available wherever you download your podcast. Just search for Bartow Sports Zone Podcast. Well, let's get started this morning and welcome in our opening coach and our interview to start the day, Coach Mike Tobin, head basketball coach of the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, Charles. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you. And glad to have you back in the zone and back on Bartow Sports Zone this morning. Let's just take a moment or two and to kind of catch up with you. Start with the family. Tell us how everyone's doing and what they're up to these days.
Oh, man, that's a great question. Got a big smile on my face when you say that. We just had our third grandchild, and my boys, I got three boys are doing well. My wife's doing well, and appreciate you asking that. We're doing, knock on wood, everything's going pretty well.
Very good. Glad to hear that. And those grandbabies are a little different. It's a different world out there, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We always love to catch up with our coaches. Coach, how many seasons is this for you now in total?
Total is 31. 31.
31 seasons. And I know moving over from Woodland to Cartersville, how many years now at Cartersville?
This is my 12th year at Cartersville. I had 10 at Woodland, man. 10 great years at Woodland and 12 good years. This is the 12th year here. Loving it.
Very good. So you're deep into Bartow County and Cartersville these days.
Yes, sir. Great, great move on our part. Get down here and lot warmer weather and good people down here.
Yeah. Speaking of weather, I know you know that I handle basketball officials in our area. We've already had a cancellation tonight. Cold weather. We've got a school up in the Dalton area and already a school coming out of Tennessee to play them that has canceled for tonight. So some cold weather dipping back into our area again tonight.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, I was up in Minnesota for 15 years and we didn't have any cancellations, but we obviously, but the difference is we got the plows and the salt and all that stuff up there, you know.
Sure. Well, let's get back to basketball. Football's extended playoff run again kind of hampered your start to the year. Kind of take us through that early part of the season. I know you lost several games, but it had to be an opportunity to kind of find some help moving forward once you got your full roster intact.
Charles, that's exactly right. We had several kids that, you know, pretty much are playing JV right now, but actually we had two freshmen that started at one or two games, you know, before the football kids came, and that gave them very valuable experience and going forward, just like you said. They see what it takes to play on the varsity and kind of threw them in the fire, and you know, we got those football kids, and I believe now three of our five starters are our football kids. So we constantly tell our kids here that, you know, the biggest thing is our region, you know, try to peak during the region time. And you know, so many people ask, hey, what's your record, and we say the biggest thing is just the region, you know, because, you know, the preseason's a whole different animal.
Sure. And of course, you got that rolling real well right now. We'll talk about that in just a few more minutes, but just trying to catch up on your year so far. That holiday stretch was really your first opportunity to play a few games with your full arsenal. I know you have that period with everyone in the summer months to kind of get everything laid out, but then that's a long layoff between then, the entire football season, and then kind of getting everybody back together in December. How important were those practices and the few game opportunities that you had during the holidays?
Well, obviously extremely important. And, you know, at that point, we really need to have more practices and games. And unfortunately, we had like, I think it was 6 games in 9 days over the holidays. So, you know, obviously playing together helped, but it would have been more beneficial to have practices. But, you know, we usually don't schedule games till later because usually our football team goes very deep in the playoffs. So, but, you know, obviously it helped it. And, you know, Charles, you coached basketball. It's all about, you know, playing together, rhythm and, you know, chemistry. And it takes a while to get that going. You know, and you see some of these smaller schools, these kids have played together since they're little kids, man. And, you know, they might not have as much talent, but they know how to hoop. You know, so we're starting to get there now.
Well, you're in the middle of a nice stretch. You've won 5 of your last 7, I believe it is, including all 3 of your region games that we mentioned just a moment ago. How comfortable are each of your players becoming in their existing roles on this year's team?
Well, you know, with this year's team, we don't have just one kid that's, you know, you think is going to get 20 points every night. It's kind of one of those fun teams you have where, you know, other teams can't just focus on one kid. Our biggest strength has been our rebounding and defense. And, you know, we're 3-0 in a region. We could very easily be 0-3. You know, that's how tight our region is. You know, they're playing well together. And, I mean, the biggest thing is that we're not going to be scoring 100 points a game and just have, like, unbelievably great offensive talents. We're going to win games with our defense and rebounding.
And just developing that continuity and developing that rapport with one another. Kind of go back again to the same question that had to kind of be pulled together all during that holiday stretch.
It did. And you know, every year's different, you know, and these kids really seem like they get along well and, you know, do things off the court together. And, you know, it goes a long way. But like I said, it's just so many moving parts, you know, such a unique situation where we literally have 2 cuts. We had you know, once football got done, there were some kids that were with us for over a month that ended up getting cut. It's a tough situation. But like I said, they got great personalities. They compete and they get along. So, you know, somebody makes a mistake, they kind of pick them up and, you know, it's a sign of a good team.
We're visiting with Coach Mike Tobin of the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes. We'll take a timeout here on Barco Sports Zone. When we get back, we'll take a look at this year's roster and talk about some other aspects of the Purple Hurricanes.
Keep your property in top-notch shape this season with a new Husqvarna mower from Elite Stone Supply. With all your residential and commercial mower needs, Elite has zero-turn and riding models in all price levels. Check out the robotic mowers, too. Come explore all the Husqvarna mower options at Elite Stone Supply. Across from Racetrack at 9 Baker Road, just north of Cartersville on US 41. Call 770-387-3007 on Facebook and online at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Bundle up out there. Some cold air headed our way again in Cartersville and Bartow County. I'm Charles Wilson, your host for Bartow Sports Zone. Alan Sanders has the controls back in the WBHF studios. And we're visiting with Coach Mike Tobin of the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes. Coach, before the break, we were talking about your season thus far. But for those of us who have not seen this year's team, how would you describe the identity of this year's team? What's your focus or style of play?
Well, and like I said earlier, it's we're trying to play good defense, make it tough for the other teams to score, and hopefully just give them one shot, if that, and box out and get the rebound, and you know, let the rest take care of itself. But I've had so many people after games say how hard our kids play, and that's a real compliment to the kids. And we talk to them all the time about after high school, you know, people in the stands maybe saw you play high school ball and said, man, I love that kid. I remember watching him playing basketball, work hard, and usually that carries over into their job, you know. So, you know, that I think our identity, I'd like to think, is that we, you know, you watch us play, you're going to see us play hard.
We can't do it all alone as head coaches. Tell us a little bit about your staff, assistant coaches, the attributes that they bring to the staff and their roles with the team.
Once again, I think we got a great staff, starting with the middle school. We got Dante Pickard and Brian Adams. They do a great job. And all the guys on our staff, you know, the biggest concern is they care about the kids more so than just the basketball. And I think they do a great job with all of our kids in the program. And then at the, we actually pulled Don Good out of retirement. It's so tough finding coaches now. You know, a lot of coaches now, they get out of coaching, they train kids so they can make $100 an hour off some kids, you know, and it's tough finding coaches. So Don, the nice thing is I was able to get him because we were losing a spot. I thought we had filled, and then Don was able to step back up. So he's been with me the whole time, does a great job with the freshman team. Then Vincent Mitchell, kid I coached, I call him a kid, he's in his 30s now, but I coached him at Woodland. Great player, great coach. He's doing a JV for us this year. And then, of course, Sed Ward, he's been with me also for the last 11 years, does a great job as a varsity assistant. So I think we got a great, great staff.
Yeah, you called them kids. My kids are now 40 and maybe 50 years old, Coach. It gets away from us pretty quickly. Take us through your roster. Tell us a little bit about each of your players, the skills they bring, attributes they bring to the team this year.
Okay, the first kid I'd like to talk about, he's actually on our roster, but he got injured and couldn't play this year. And, you know, preseason, I think he probably would have been our leading scorer. His name's Jake Johnson. He's on the bench for us. He helps us, kind of like another coach on the bench for us. He does stats for us. But Jake Johnson, he'll be back for us next year. Excellent player, excellent kid. So we were remiss not having him, especially scoring-wise. Then we got two freshmen. We've got freshmen A.J. Cowart and Grayson Warmack. They're two kids that got a lot of playing time before the football kids came. I think each one of them started at least one game, varsity game in the preseason. Grayson competes hard, very competitive, strong kid. A.J.'s a freshman. He's going to be an excellent player. He's more of an inside player. He can take it to that hole, but he's a rebounder for us. But two excellent freshmen they've gotten a lot of good varsity playing time and experience this year, competing against the older kids in practice. And then 10th graders, we got four 10th graders, some great kids. We got Nas Bennett. He started the season with the flu and started out as kind of sluggish, but he's on a roll now. He had, I believe, five threes last game against Calhoun. He's really starting to score. He's scoring about 12 points a game right now for us. And once again, he's only a sophomore. Sky's the limit for him. He works his tail off. Zach Tolbert, he's another kid we just brought up. He's a JV varsity kid. He's got a huge, bright future. Another kid who really competes well. Reed Azell. Reed Azell, a lot of people remember his name from the football field. He had, I think, two pick sixes on the football field. Once again, he's a coach's dream. I mean, a kid, he does all the little things. He rebounds. One game he had 17 rebounds. He's about 6'1". Smart kid, strong kid. Lucky to have him and having a great year for us. We've got him for two more years. And then also we've got Logan Van Pelt. He's got the old man moves. Man, he gets up and under moves. He looks kind of like Jokic from the Nuggets as far as his moves, and he's real effective inside. And he's going to have a bright future for us. And he's played quite a bit for us recently too, especially last couple games. But those are our four sophomores. Juniors, we have Caden Baldwin. Caden's been having a great year, doing a lot better job taking care of the ball. He's a point guard. He competes, real passionate, hates to lose. You know, once again, a coach's dream. He competes hard, and he's been playing real well for us. Same thing as a junior at point guard. It's nice to have him having a great year this year. We still got him for another year. Jamari Bryce, once again, one of the best football players in this area. Fortunate to have him out on the basketball court again. He brings us all kinds of great defense and another great kid who works his tail off. Like I said, he's got a bright future. Doing a good job in the basketball court, but obviously he's going to get a D1 football scholarship when it's all said and done. And then we got Jake. I talked about Jake. So those are three juniors. And then our seniors, we've got five seniors. Okay, five seniors. The first one, Dalen Hall. He's kind of been battling knee problems all year, but when he gets in there, he's doing a great job. Plays great defense for us. That's Dalen Hall. Monty Tolbert. Okay, it's actually his birthday yesterday. Big Monty. He had a great game last game. Same thing, about 6 foot tall. Had 10 rebounds against Calhoun. Big game for us. Had a huge offensive putback to help us win that game. That's Monty Tolbert.
And Coach, then we got about 90 seconds.
Okay. And Sed McClitic, another senior captain, doing a great job. Hit a big shot against Cass to help to win the game. DJ Kane, last two games, averaged 20 rebounds a game. He had 21 and 19. Big DJ. And then Colin Jenrich, outstanding shooter. Most people know who Colin is. He gets in the game. He's got that beautiful shot. So I think I covered everybody there, Charles. I hope so.
Yeah, beautiful. Region tournament this year. I think you're the host.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's it's nice not having to travel and being familiar with the gym, and hopefully we can keep it rolling here. But obviously basketball, usually it's a pretty big advantage playing at home.
And then real quickly, you've now played three of the other five teams in your region. I know you visit Woodland tonight. Quick evaluation of the region this year and the race for those top seeds going into the tournament.
Well, I think most coaches agree on paper, talent-wise, Hiram's, cream of the crop. And I believe pretty much the rest of the teams, I think anybody can beat anybody. That's how close everybody else is. I saw last night Calhoun, it looked like they gave him a pretty tough game. I think Calhoun lost by 7, I think, last night to Hiram. But, on paper, Hiram's loaded. They're absolutely loaded. So for somebody to beat them, they're going to have to play their best game, and Hiram will have to not play their best game. I mean, they're absolutely loaded.
Coach Tobin, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Charles. Thanks for all you do.
Yes, sir. We'll be back with more of Bartow Sports Zone.
Hi, this is Charles Wilson of BartowSportsZone.com, inviting you to join us each Friday morning from 7:10 to 9 a.m. for the Bartow Sports Zone radio show. We'll interview local coaches, visit with sports personalities, and discuss the hot topics in the world of sports. So join the Bartow Sports Zone team Friday mornings on WBHF and keep up with your local sports news at BartowSportsZone.com.
Welcome back, friends, to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here with you again this morning. We're here each Friday morning on WBHF, 7:10 until 9 a.m. Jackson Hyde, who's normally with us in the opening hour, he'll be a little late this morning. He'll join us in the next hour. And we want to thank Coach Mike Tobin of the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes for joining us in that opening half hour this morning. I hope you got to hear all the good things he had to say about the Purple Hurricanes this season. And now we welcome in our second guest of the morning, the boys coach of the Adairsville Tigers, Coach Alex Dispro. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Thank you for having us on.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you as we work our way through all of the local high school basketball coaches for the first time this season. Welcome back into the Zone and Bartow Sports Zone. Coach, your first visit of the year with us. Catch our audience up a little bit with your family and what keeps you busy in the off season and away from the gym when you do get to slip away.
Well, I don't get a whole lot of time away from the gym. It's kind of a labor of passion. But I've got three little ones that keep me really busy. My oldest is in middle school, and she's eat up with soccer, as a lot of people are. And then my 9-year-old boy is all about basketball and soccer. And then my little one wants to live at the soccer fields as well, and she likes basketball as well. So we're always doing something. We're always at some sort of field or court, or we're always just running, and that's the way I like it.
Yeah, I fully understand and can appreciate it. In my younger years, did a lot of coaching, coached a lot of different sports. Only had the one son who's now grown and has two of his own, but I always made an effort not to directly coach him. I was offered plenty of advice and did plenty of solo workouts with him, but that was our little thing. I did not coach him directly. I kind of let him earn it with others. Your perspective on that?
Well, that's kind of funny because my two youngest want to play upward basketball this year. And my little girl came to me and buttered me up, gave me the big eyes and said, "Daddy, I'll only play if you'll be my coach."
There you go.
About 5 minutes later, here comes my son, my 9-year-old, and he walks up to me and gives me a mean face and says, "I'll only play if you won't be my coach." So that's kind of how it went. Unfortunately, they didn't have enough coaches, and I ended up coaching Rowan's team. And hopefully he's liked it, but if not, oh well. He can join a long list of people who aren't happy with my coaching.
There you go. And, you know, I was told by one of my head football coaches that I assisted for over the years, as a coach, you better be ready to move because you're always making somebody angry. But that's kind of how that world goes, and I fully understand and can appreciate it. Coach, we can't get it all done alone as coaches, as head coaches. Share with us who's on your coaching staff this year. What kind of attributes they bring to the staff and their primary roles with the team?
Well, our head JV coach and varsity assistant is Jonathan Bennett. He's out of Calhoun. He's a Gordon Central graduate. He runs a private basketball training business in Calhoun. In fact, he's about to start opening up his own complex in Resaca pretty soon. He's a good basketball mind, and I kind of hand over the offense to him a little bit. We watch film and come up with a game plan together, and then his job is to execute the game plan while I handle. So I can focus on defense for the most part, but he does a great job for us. Our freshman coach is Jeff Victoria. Local legend, Jeff Victoria. And his job is to acclimate the freshmen to our program, our expectations, our behavioral agenda. And that's just a really important job, if not one of the most important jobs that we have in the whole program. Is these kids come up from middle school and they're not used to the work level expectations. They're not used to how much commitment there is Monday through Saturday, two to 3 hours a day. And they're in shock. They're in shock. Their parents in shock. And Coach Victoria just does a masterful job of helping ease them into what is high school athletics and the expectations that come with it. And then our final coach on staff is Brent West, is new to us. And he's kind of just a utility guy. He fills in any roles. He fills in for freshman when he needs to. He fills in for JV and in varsity. He keeps the stats for us on the bench and tries to keep me out of trouble with the officials.
Coach, we'll get to the rest of your roster in a bit. That's one of the things we like to do here on BSC, is let you talk about everyone on your roster the first time you visit with us. But many of our listeners may not know that you've had to play of late without a key ingredient on this year's roster and plans. Catch us up on the status of Trey Winters and his prognosis.
Well, Trey is actually going under the knife today. He has a major knee injury, and it was planned to be a key cog this year in this, but he turned his ankle the second game out from football really bad, was out for about 4 to 5 weeks. And then he basically played 2.5 games before he hurt his knee. And now the swelling's gone down and everything's lined up for surgery. And he's actually having surgery today. And we don't expect him back this year. It's been a big blow for us, but the kids are starting to adjust to it. We're changing a little bit what we do to because our personnel has changed. And it's been a big hit for us, but I'm pleased with the way the kids are adjusting, and they're going to go try to win a championship without him. And hopefully he'll be on our bench cheering for us, and we'll be cheering for him in surgery today.
Coach, in about a minute here before we take this first time out, for those of us who may not have seen your team this year, how would you describe the identity of the team? What's your focus or style of play?
Well, we're best when we share the ball on offense, when the ball moves, we don't over dribble, and we always are working towards the best available shot on the offensive side. We're best on the defensive side when we're locked in, we're engaged, we're talking, when we're really playing for each other. At times with all young people, selfishness creeps up. And when we play selfish offensively or defensively, we're not very good. But when we play as a team, I think we have championship caliber DNA. So it just comes down to the choice. Do we want to be a team, or do we want to be a collection of individuals? When we choose, and some days they choose to be a team and some days they choose to be individuals. When we choose to be a team, I really like this group.
He's Coach Alex Dispro, head basketball coach of the Adairsville Tigers. We're up on our next timeout here on Bartow Sports Zone. So we'll take a quick timeout and be back with more from Coach Alex Dispro.
Sp- sponsors of the Elite Athletes of the Month. Elite Stone Supply at Baker Road at US 41 North is your local authorized Husqvarna dealer. See Elite for all your landscaping needs. And check out the inventory of mowers, tillers, trimmers, and blowers. Need pine straw, mulch, sand, topsoil, rocks, or landscaping boulders? How about cultured or natural stone? Elite delivers with tons of options. Across from Racetrack, just north of Cartersville, on Facebook and at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here, along with Coach Alex Dispro of the Adairsville Tigers. Coach, your team, I think, is 10-9 on the year right now, 6-2 in Region 6 AAA following Wednesday night's home win over Gordon Lee. You're essentially, I believe, tied for second in the standings, along with Lafayette and Ringgold, who you host tonight. Everybody's kind of chasing Cahulla Creek at the top of the standings. You've now started the second rotation through the region schedule, so you've now seen every other team in your region, including Gordon Lee, a couple of times. Share with us your evaluation of the region race right now.
Well, right now it's Cahulla Creek at the top. They had a good group last year of juniors, and then they pretty much just moved everybody up as seniors, and then they got a really, really good transfer in at a position they just didn't have. The MO on them last year, you could speed them up. They didn't have very good ball handlers. And then they had an all-region point guard from Northwest Whitfield transfer into them. It was a fit like a glove, and they're just off and running. And they're big. They can shoot it, and they got ball handling now. So they're pretty good. And then I feel like we're right there with them, but we've had tons and tons of injuries where we talked about Trey Winters being out for the year. But our starting center, Caden Scott, he's been one ankle injury after another, and he's just now starting to get into form, and he's missed about 6 weeks of the season early. And then of course our all-state point guard in Zach Postel partially tore his hip flexor and was out for about 6 weeks. So we went to war the first time through without three starters in our rotation, and that kind of affected our schedule a little bit. And of course, I'm just this big dumb idiot coach who loves to schedule hard. And I mean, I have a philosophy that every game we play, if we don't play well, we should lose. And every game we do play well, we have a chance to win. So I don't want to go play somebody that's going to beat our brains in no matter how well we play. And I don't want to go play somebody that we're going to beat no matter what. I think it just builds bad habits. So I scheduled really tough, knowing we won the region last year. Most of our team was coming back, and then we had all these injuries, and our record is a reflection of that. Sure. But it has allowed us to build and strengthen our kind of a soft underbelly. So I think we're deeper because of it. I think we're poised for a better run the second half of the season because we had to play so many kids that weren't in the plan to play early in the year. So we're excited about that. But then we've taken a couple of losses that I feel like that if we had our crew together, we wouldn't have lost. And one of those is tonight. We play Ringgold, who we're tied with in the standings for second place. We played them without three starters, and we're looking for revenge tonight. So sure. Hopefully we stand up, we play as a team, and we prove to them that we're not who we were the first time we played them when they beat us at their place.
Coach, take a couple of minutes, just kind of run through your roster. Tell us a little bit about who's on this year's team.
Well,
mentioned several, but yeah. Let's let you run through your roster.
We got five seniors that have been really good for us for 4 years now. Obviously, it starts with all-state point guard Zach Postel, who's like having a coach on the floor. I haven't had too many kids that I've given up so many responsibilities to. I let him call plays. I let him see stuff. I let him make recommendations. And then we've got Tayshawn Jackson, who's a very gifted scorer, who can score in multiple ways. We have Chase Hilburn, who's been really good for us of late. He's a defender. He can rebound. He can also score a little bit. We have Caden Scott, who's a defensive specialist in the post. And with rebounding, he provides some toughness for us that we were lacking last year. And then we have Gabe Goez, who's our sharpshooting wing, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the region, if not the state. Our junior is led by, obviously, Trey Winters, who is out. Xavius Knowles is an extremely gifted athlete, gifted scorer. And when he gets his mindset right, he's as good as anybody on our roster and as good as anybody our our league when his mind is ready to compete. Jamarion Pullum is a great football athlete who also plays basketball. We're really excited with so many things he can do. I'm in the building.
That's okay. Got an announcement.
So I apologize, but Jamarion Pullum is kind of a utility knife. He's guarded everywhere from the opposing team's point guard to the post players. He gives us really flexibility because of his athletic ability. He can pretty much do everything on the basketball court as well. Doesn't do anything great, but he does almost everything well. We have Ben Abernathy. He's kind of grown into a bigger role. He's a kid that's because we had so many energies, had injuries, has had a chance to shine. And he's really developed in that role, and we're looking for really good things out of him in the second half of the season and his senior year. We also have a junior, Blaine Abernathy. He's a JV kid who's starting to grow. He's starting to hit a big growth spurt. He's going to help us in the future as a post player. I think that's all. With Tyreek Hames is also he was ineligible first semester as a transfer, and he's eligible now, and he's given us a good boost off the bench. That's our seniors and juniors, and that's basically our varsity rotation.
Well, that's a good look at who is part of this Tigers unit this year. Coach, we've got a little over a minute left. The region tournament this year, I think, goes to the site of the boys' first place team. So, you got a shot at making a run at Cahoma Creek and the Colts?
We play them on the 26th, which will be a huge game. We've got to get them there, and then somebody's got to upset them, and then it's going to go to coin toss if they can lose twice, which I don't know if there's two teams in the region besides us that can beat them. Then that's the scenario in which we sneak in to host it. Obviously, we have to take care of our business and win every game in front of us every night. But even if that doesn't happen, then we need to be able to go into Cooler Creek and win a region championship. Sure. That's like offense doesn't always travel, but defense and rebound always travel. We've been hitting defense and rebounding all season. And when we do that, we're pretty good. And when we don't, well, now we're very average.
All right. All right. Well, he's Coach Alex Dispro, head coach of the Tigers. We've got to let you go, Coach, but thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you all for having us.
To win in sports, you need to adjust your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you create a game plan for your financial goals. He'll help you look at the big picture and help you plan for your future. Call Derek at 770-386-4545 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here along with Alan Sanders back in the WBHF studios. We'll be joined here in just a moment by David Coleman and Jackson Hyde on the Zoom connection. I want to thank our first hour guest, Mike Tobin of the Cartersville Purple Hurricanes and Alex Dispro of the Adairsville Tigers for joining us in that opening hour. Next week, our statewide high school basketball analyst, Kyle Sandy, will join us to update as we head down the stretch of the regular season. And then we'll visit with Dash O'Neill, the baseball coach at Georgia Highlands. That's all coming up next Friday on Bartow Sports Zone. Opening day for the Chargers. Can you believe it? Baseball already is January the 31st. So they'll be at home in a doubleheader against Bryan College. So we'll catch up with Coach O'Neill and find out about this year's edition of the Georgia Highlands Chargers next week here on Bartow Sports Zone. Well, let's run through our local sports update. Three of the local high school wrestling teams are in action today and tomorrow at the GHSA State Duels Championships. Adairsville is at the 16-team Class AAA tournament in Dahlonega at Lumpkin County High School. Woodland is a top four seed at the 16-team Class 5A tournament at Jefferson. And Cass is also going to be competing at Jefferson beginning today. They are in the opposite bracket from Woodland. The full brackets are available for your view at bartowsportszone.com if you want to check that out. Up in Dahlonega, Adairsville faces a top four seed in Franklin County in the first round. Their half of the bracket also includes Long County, Cahoola Creek, Morgan County, Pike County, Doherty,
and another top four seed in Lumpkin County, who is also the host, obviously. And then at Jefferson, Cass opens up against a top four seed in Harris County. Their half of the bracket also includes the top seeded and host team, the Jefferson Dragons. Woodland is on the other side of the bracket. They open the tournament against McIntosh. And then the other top four seed in their half of the bracket, that is Ola High School. So some tradition-rich names in each portion of those brackets as they begin the state duels championships, Jackson.
Yeah. Yes, if you look at that Class 5A bracket with Jefferson, Cass, Woodland, and Ola, I mean, that's those four have been in the running for the past, I'd say, 10 years. I mean, those are the four premier programs in 5A. And then, of course, Adairsville drew the Lumpkin County side of the bracket, which will be a tough task for them coming up.
So all that wrestling, we'll keep up with it for you, and we'll have updates throughout the weekend for you on our social media and, of course, with BartowSportsZone.com. The local high school basketball schedule had a hiccup this week with the anticipated inclement weather, but then there were some postponements and some makeup games in the middle of the week. The action picks back up steady flow this evening. On the girls' side, Excel Christian's girls are 3-6. They're hosting Oakwood Christian tonight. The Adairsville girls are 10-7 on the year, 6-2. They're hosting Ringgold tonight. They are currently third in Region 6 3A. They completed a season sweep of Gordon Lee this past week on Wednesday evening. The Woodland girls are 7-8 overall and 0-3 in their region. They lost to Dalton at home Wednesday night. They're hosting Cartersville, who is 9-9 and 2-1 in the region tonight, out at Woodland. And Cass at 11-6, 0-2. They play at Dalton tonight. Their makeup game with Hiram from Tuesday will be on Monday of next week. Remember now, the Region 7 5A schedule is only 10 games long. So all of these region games are very, very important for tournament seeding in the Region 7 5A race right now. On the girls' side, you've got Dalton at 3-0. Cartersville and Calhoun are both 2-1. Hiram is 1-1. Cass is 0-2, and Woodland 0-3 heading into tonight's games. On the boys' side, Excel 4-13. They lost to Cherokee Christian this past Monday, but routed Linden Academy last night in Woodstock 91-15. They improved to 3-0 in region play. They're at home tonight against Oakwood Christian, so they're looking for a 4-0 start in their GAPS Region 1 of Division 1A. Adairsville, we visited with Coach Dispro this morning. They are 10-9 on the year, 6-2, and currently in second place in a tie with their opponent tonight, Ringgold, for the number two spot in that region. Woodland at 7-10, 1-2 in the region, lost to Dalton on Wednesday. They're hosting Cartersville tonight, who is off to a fast 3-0 start in Region 7-5A. And then the Cass boys are at 4-9 on the year. They're 0-2 in region play with a very important game at Dalton tonight in the region. So looking very quickly at the Region 7-5A boys standings through the first two or three games, Cartersville is at 3-0. They're atop the standings. Hiram is at 2-0 with a makeup game to make up with Cass on Monday. You've got Dalton, Woodland, and Calhoun. They all sit at 1-2 in the region. And then Cass is at 0-2 here in the early going of the region schedule. That is a rapid run through all of your local high school basketball at this stage of the region races. You've got the Adairsville teams toward the top of their respective regions, and everybody else in 7-5A battling right there in the middle, and Cartersville trying to run away with the boys' side. We'll be back with more of Bartow Sports Zone after this timeout.
Hi, this is Charles Wilson of BartowSportsZone.com, inviting you to join us each Friday morning from 7:10 to 9 a.m. for the Bartow Sports Zone radio show. We'll interview local coaches, visit with sports personalities, and discuss the hot topics in the world of sports. So join the Bartow Sports Zone team Friday mornings on WBHF and keep up with your local sports news at BartowSportsZone.com.
Good morning, friends. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Get ready to bundle up out there. A little cold air heading our way one more time. Another Arctic cycle headed our way. So find the heavy jacket and be ready for an enjoyable weekend. Let's turn our attention now to the Atlanta Falcons and their head coaching vacancy. Falcons beat writer Josh Kendall has reported out there that the 81-year-old owner Arthur Blank is determined to make a newsworthy splash with his new hire as they bring in a new coach. Michigan National Championship head coach Jim Harbaugh interviewed earlier this week on Tuesday. He is the seventh person to be interviewed by the Falcons. He coached at the 49ers from 11 to 14 of 2000s. Lost the Super Bowl 47 to his brother John and the Baltimore Ravens. The Michigan coach made three NFC championship games in four seasons and was 44-19-1 with the 49ers. He's now gone 89-25 in nine seasons with the Michigan Wolverines. His quarterback at Michigan, J.J. McCarthy, declared for the NFL draft recently. The Falcons know they will have the number eight pick in the draft. Could this be a uniting of the two, Harbaugh and McCarthy, in Atlanta? I don't know, via a hiring and, of course, the draft. Harbaugh has won in every spot he's landed. He was at the University of San Diego, Stanford, the 49ers, and now Michigan. The knock on him has always been he just kind of wears out his welcome pretty quickly in every spot he lands. Jackson, I'm going to start with you. Is it just me, or does Jim Harbaugh just kind of come across as a strange bird, pun intended?
Pun intended is very good. Quirky is what kind of the word I've always used to describe him. He's obviously a winner. He's been successful at every stop. He will push the envelope when it comes to rules and regulations, as we've seen in his past. But not a bad hire. I think, you know, a lot of the buzz is Bill Belichick, which I think would be a Band-Aid. He's 72 years old and don't think he has much time left in the coaching circle. So I would hope it would be a Harbaugh or a Bobby Slowick from Houston Texans, offensive coordinator, someone of that nature before Belichick.
Yeah, Belichick, who's no longer with the Patriots, is having a second meeting with the Falcons this weekend, according to the AJC. You've got the Ravens defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan, 49ers D coordinator, Steve Wilks, Panthers D coordinator, Ejiro Evero. You've got the Ravens assistant head coach, Anthony Weaver, and then the name Raheem Morris, who we're familiar with as Falcons followers. That name keeps popping up. He was 17-31 in his tenure at Tampa Bay and 4-7 as an interim head coach in Atlanta. He's the current Rams defensive coordinator. David, out of all of those folks, you got a favorite choice?
Yeah, being not all that familiar with some of the coordinators, I certainly would like to see someone with some successful head coaching experience. And I like defensive-minded head coaches. Generally speaking, though, I know that in the NFL, it's all about offense. It'll be interesting. I agree. Belichick would be a bad hire. I don't know how the man could possibly get more than 5 years. But that's a long time in the NFL now. So my thought process is hire a good young defensive coordinator-minded coach and build from there.
Alan, I know you're a Falcons follower. Jump in here.
So in the world of Falcons' poor decision-making, I can honestly see Belichick being the guy they go to for name recognition, for splash, knowing he wants a few more years just to get to his all-time winningest coach record. He wants to be able to get in there and say, okay, I'm not going to GM. I'm not going to have all the other pressure. I'm going to make some coaching decisions. I'm going to get my 15 wins, be here for 2 or 3 years, maybe groom somebody underneath. I see Arthur Blank making that decision rather than thinking long-haul younger guy.
Jackson, is that a safe choice, do you think?
Safe, maybe, splash, maybe, but just like Alan mentioned, for long-term success, I don't know it's the right decision. If you're going to draft a young quarterback, Belichick has proven here in the past, you know, since post-Brady era in New England, that he's not real good with an inexperienced quarterback. So I'm not sure if you hire Belichick, I think you got to go establish quarterback through free agency, somebody like a Kirk Cousins or a Russell Wilson, in order for the Belichick plan to work.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting as they meet with Belichick again this weekend. Back to the draft for just a second and the top dozen or so quarterback prospects, just kind of jumping around here. Most NFL scouts have Caleb Williams and Drake May out of North Carolina. Of course, Caleb Williams out of USC as really the only viable top 10 first-round picks. Then you've got a deeper quarterback class that includes some maybe late first-round to second, early second-round picks like Jaden Daniels. I've seen a couple of mock drafts this week that had Jaden Daniels to the Falcons. And I find that as an interesting fit for the existing personnel with the Falcons. Jackson, your take on a Jaden Daniels quarterback situation with Atlanta.
He is very interesting pick. And I think if you're going to go through the draft to get a quarterback, you've got to take one at eight. And if Drake May and Caleb Williams have already been already off the board, then I think you got to take a Jake Daniels right there. He's, to me, he was the most impressive quarterback at the college level. I've never really been impressed with Drake May. I know he has great arm strength, but crunch time, clutch decision-making time, I've never been impressed with how he's reacted. So, in my opinion, if those two are gone, Jake Daniels at eight is the smart pick if you're going quarterback.
Just seems to me, and this is my take on it, just seems that Jaden Daniels might be a little fragile right now for what has to take place in the NFL. You got some other folks out there, Michael Penix, who was in the national championship game with Washington. You got Bo Nix. You got J.J. McCarthy. Michael Pratt, that's at Tulane, is getting some eyes. So there are some options out there. I think it's just going to be crucial for the Falcons to kind of go out there and find a quarterback that they can groom moving into the future. Let's take our next time out here on Bartow Sports Zone, catch up on a little news, and we'll be back with more. So stick around.
To win in sports, you need to adjust your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. Derek Strange, your Cartersville Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you create a game plan for your financial goals. He'll help you look at the big picture and help you plan for your future. Call Derek at 770-386-4545 or visit edwardjones.com to get started today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Charles Wilson back with you here on Bartow Sports Zone. We're here each Friday morning, 7:10 until 9 a.m. in the months of August through March. So glad you could join us this morning. We're talking a little sports roundtable this morning with David Coleman and Jackson Hyde. Alan Sanders back running the controls back in the WBHF studios. Let's turn our attention now to the divisional playoffs in the NFL this weekend. On Saturday, the 4:30 game will be the Texans at the Ravens, where Baltimore is favored by 9. And then the night game tomorrow night will be the Packers at the 49ers. Again, the 49ers favored in that one by 9.5 points. Both the Packers and the Texans
had quarterbacks starting their first ever playoff games last week, and they were both up against top-ranked defensive units. Quarterback C.J. Stroud and the Texans just ripped the Cleveland Browns, and Jordan Love and the Packers pretty much did the same to the Dallas Cowboys. A little bit of a surprise there, Jackson Hyde.
Yeah, you know, you look at that Green Bay-Dallas game and you think, wow, that's a surprise. But if you look at the history of the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs, really wasn't too big a surprise. It was impressive to see how well Jordan Love played on the road. You know, C.J. Stroud had a great game against Cleveland, but he was at home. But Jordan Love took the show on the road and showed the Cowboys something. I think both of those games you mentioned, those games that are 9 and 9.5 point spreads, will be closer games than the spread.
Interesting article this week, David, in The Athletic from Michael Salfino. He pulled data from the last five seasons of the playoffs, trying to determine trends of whether or not the best offenses or the best defenses perform at their best levels in the playoffs. His conclusion, using a variety of stats, is that the advantage goes to the offense. Offensive strength has proven over the, at least the last 5 years, to be much more stable and reliable in the playoffs than defensive strength. Do you like offenses or defenses in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's an interesting viewpoint. It goes against historical beliefs about football, but and you know how statistics are. There's lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics. And but I guess the proof's in the pudding. The playoffs are just a different beast. It's almost as if those professional players take it to another level once they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and of course, defensive stats get skewed by the fact that you play average teams or below average teams during the year. So those two defensive units had maybe built up some numbers that way. But of course, the offensive stats work the same way too. So obviously, it's an interesting take that the offenses are outperforming defenses once you get to the playoffs. On Sunday, the 3 o'clock game is the Buccaneers at the Lions, where the Lions are going to be favored by 6.5 points. And then the night game on Sunday will be the Chiefs at the Bills, another rematch of a playoff game we've seen quite often. It seems like the Bills are 2.5 point favorites, Jackson.
Yep. It's that game, playoff game, tends to always be in Kansas City. So the script has flipped this year a little bit. Bills get exactly. The Chiefs at home, so we'll see how that turns out. I expect that to be a really good game. You can never bet against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. He seems to always perform well, so it'd be interesting to watch that game. And as far as that Detroit-Tampa Bay game, I am a I'm kind of rooting for the Lions, you know, a team that's really struggled over the past half a century or so. It's be neat to see them go forward, but I think they're catching a hot team and a hot quarterback. I expect that to be a really good ball game as well.
Yeah, the Lions won last weekend's closest game, beating the Rams 24-23, a game that saw the Rams go 0-for-3 in the red zone. The Lions now benefit from the Cowboys' loss and get to host a second playoff game in a row, this time against Tampa Bay, who kind of shocked the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bucs quarterback Baker Mayfield became the first Tampa Bay quarterback to pass for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in a playoff game, a 32-9 win over the Eagles that really wasn't even as close as the one-sided score. The Eagles were 0-for-9 on third downs in that game, and their defense rarely slowed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How surprising, Jackson, have the Eagles or was the Eagles collapse down the stretch?
If my memory serves me correctly, Charles, they were 10-1 the first 11 games, and I think they won one or two games after. So very surprising. It's a team that's loaded with talent on both sides of the ball. And you got to wonder if Coach Sirianni is safe there in Philadelphia after the collapse this year.
All right, guys, real quickly, I'll go to each of you. Give me your picks. Who's going to be in the NFC and the AFC championship games. Jackson?
I'll go first. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills hosting the Houston Texans in the AFC championship game, and I'm going to go with the chalk on the other side. It'll be Detroit and San Francisco in the NFC.
David?
I'm going to have to go with that. That sounds about right to me.
All righty. It looks like the Ravens are a heavy favorite. The 49ers are a heavy favorite. Looks like they're the two that are on the track to head into this year's Super Bowl. But I think those other games are extremely interesting. The Bucs, as Jackson mentioned, a really hot team right now. I think that might be the best game on the slate, and that comes up on Sunday afternoon. And, of course, that Chiefs-Bills matchup, it's been going the Chiefs' way in the past. The Bills seem to be the hot team right now, so it will be interesting how all of that plays out as we follow it on Saturday and Sunday. Well, we're going to take a timeout here on Bartow Sports Zone, and when we come back, there's a little hot stove action going on with the Atlanta Braves. We'll do a quick catch-up on what the Braves have done here in the offseason when we return.
Elite Stone Supply can meet all your needs for outdoor lawn supplies and power equipment. But did you know they repair and service small engines? From string trimmers to lawn mowers, Elite has experience, tools, and service to keep your equipment running. Elite Stone Supply, with Husqvarna mowers and everything you need to keep your property in great shape this season. 9 Baker Road and Joe Frank Harris Parkway, just north of Cartersville, across from Racetrack. Online at EliteStoneSupply.net.
Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Charles Wilson here along with David Coleman, Jackson Hyde, and Alan Sanders bringing you BSZ on this chilly Friday morning. About to get a lot chillier, I believe, as some cold air moves into our area. We want to invite you to join us again next week. We'll have Kyle Sandy, our statewide basketball analyst, to join us along with a look at the Georgia Highlands Chargers baseball team as they get started in late January. We'll have Coach Dash O'Neill to join us on Friday morning next week as well. So we hope you'll tune in for that. In barely more than a month, the Atlanta Braves will begin spring training. They've made some key moves and acquisitions in this offseason. The Braves extended the contract of general manager Alex Anthopoulos through the year 2031. Anthopoulos had two main goals, according to most of the writers out there in the offseason, and that was to improve the starting rotation for the Braves and then to shore up the left field position. They picked up Chris Sale, who should fit right into the middle of the Atlanta Braves starting pitching rotation. He's not an ace anymore, but when he's healthy, he should boost the rotation between Strider and Freed, Morton and Elder. They also acquired Jared Kelnick. He's an outfielder, a young outfielder from the Seattle Mariners. He's a former first-round pick. He was a sixth overall pick by the Mets a few years ago. The Braves think he might be ready for a breakout season at the age of 24. So that is some key moves and acquisitions made by the Braves in this offseason. There still may be some to come. Jackson, how crucial to continued Brave success was locking up the extension of Anthopoulos?
I think it's huge. I think it was a statement to not only the young players for the Braves, but possibly some of the younger guys that may be hitting free agency here soon that they know they could trust to go to Atlanta and have a GM in charge of things that's going to keep the ship headed in the right direction. I think it was a great move, smart move by the Braves organization.
One thing about it, Jackson, as a fan of the Braves, and I know you're a big follower as well, we can't be too critical of any of the moves he's ever made. I mean, it seems like he has the golden touch sometimes.
Absolutely. you got to trust him at this point. His track record has proven, even in his previous stop, I believe it was Toronto, that, you know, he was able to amass huge amounts of young talent there as well. So it's he's a very impressive general manager. I think he's the best in the league.
Chris Sale has been a steady pitcher. He's kind of fallen off of late, but kind of regained form toward the end of last season. Do you like the acquisition of Chris Sale in the pitching rotation, Jackson?
I absolutely do. I think it's not only for his leadership that he'll have in the clubhouse. He's a kind of a no-nonsense guy with a little bit of attitude, and that's something if you could say the Braves were lacking on is a kind of a bulldog, a guy that will stand up to the bat flips and things of that nature. He's one of those guys. He's no-nonsense. I'm looking forward to watching him pitch for the Braves.
And before I get over to Dave and his take on those two acquisitions, Jared Kelnick, I don't know a lot about Jared Kelnick, not really followed him, but the Braves are looking for a youngster to help them out moving forward.
Yeah, my only concern with that is if Kelnick is your guy in left field, then you've got three left-handed hitters out there in the outfield. I think it's going to be important for them either to develop one in spring training or maybe sign a veteran right-handed hitting outfielder to help in some of those pitching matchups late in the game.
David, I know you follow the Braves pretty closely during the season. Tell us about the addition or extension of Anthopoulos and then the two pickups.
It's amazing what that guy does. I mean, you can't even see it coming. He's even able to get guys that he himself knows is going to be an all-star to sign for less money than they would sign elsewhere. You're wondering why somebody like the Red Sox hasn't come in and stolen him. Maybe he enjoys the trappings of a small budget team. But what the Braves are is beyond reproach. You just can't believe they're as good as they are with the amount of money they've got to spend on players. And this guy manages it better than anybody.
Chris Sale and Jared Kelnick, anything on those two guys?
You know, don't know the Kelnick guy well, but if Anthopoulos thinks he's going to be a stud, I guess he's going to be a stud. You know? And Sale, his record speaks for himself. He's gonna throw innings for you. He's gonna chew up innings. He's gonna do it with a very competent repertoire of pitches. So good pickups as always. I'm always afraid to criticize anything the Braves do.
We really didn't get to our college basketball segment this week, but Jackson, I want to give you just a second. Georgia. Now 3-1 in SEC play. Probably let one get away last Saturday against Tennessee. They've got Kentucky tomorrow. That'll be a huge game for the Bulldogs. And then Georgia Tech. I guess we should not call them the Yellow Jackets anymore. They're the Giant Killers.
You know, they got two big wins. Had Duke earlier in the year, a win there at home, and they went on the road to take out Clemson in two overtimes on Wednesday. It was a big win for the Yellow Jackets. Hopefully that'll springboard them in the right direction. Maybe sneak into that final 68 in the tournament. We'll see.
We won't forget about Kennesaw State nearby. They're 3-0 in A-Sun play in the early going of the season. That's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of Bartow Sports Zone. We hope you'll join us next time. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay warm.